bringing us to time to talk practical finance. We do that with Thane. Good morning.
Morning, well, listeners. Morning, Wayne.
And last week we were talking about bad money. Our money was naughty, and we
misbehaving.
That's the word I was looking for. What are we talking about today?
Well, let's just recap a little bit. So, because I've had one or two questions on this. So the first one was, Thane, you said you should have a calculation where you take your net asset value, which is, what is a net asset value? So quite simply, the first exercise I want our listeners to do is to sell off everything, in theory, of course, and take the money that they've got and pay off everybody that they owe.
Okay.
And what's left, the residual or the balance that's in your pocket, is your net asset value. I almost want to call it your wealth.
Yeah.
So the goal is obviously to increase your wealth. But if you have a cash flow problem, the chances of you increasing your wealth are very, very much limited. So that's what I call net asset value. The other part of the equation was saying, but what happens if I've got a lot of cash flow but little wealth? Well, that tells me your money's been misbehaving terribly, not badly.
Yeah.
Because, as we mentioned, it's not about what you earn. It's what you do with it that counts. So I hope that sort of resolves that issue. Then we also spoke about the budget. I don't know if you can remember that. And the other query I got was, well, do you do a budget every month? And my answer is absolutely. You should be doing your budget every single month. And if you do that, you'll get a, you know, at school nowadays, you get a participation certificate, you know, which means I attended, or an attendance certificate. So if you do that, well done, you'll get an attendance certificate. But if you want a gold star, then you do that budget 12 months at a time.
Can I just mention why that's actually a very good idea from personal experience?
Yes.
Is at the moment I've got debit orders coming off one of my accounts, and every month I check. Okay,
may the best debit order win at the end of today.
It's like the vultures coming in. But I put X amount of money into the specific account for the debit orders to go off. And for some or other reason, one of the debit orders increased. And all hell broke loose in that account that month.
Yes.
Because may the first debit order win, and the rest of them, well, they lost the race. So, you know, then you've got to run around and kill fires and wait for the next month's debit orders or pay the thing manually.
It's hassle value.
It's hassle. But, you know, if so now, I check it every single month to make sure that I know what the debit orders are going to be.
Correct.
I know what's going in. And then you can also check that there's no rogue debit orders.
Yeah.
That might sneak in or,
absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely. And that does happen, right? So what I've also been known to do is to actually put a reminder on my phone, sort of like 2 days before a debit order run, and say, make sure you've got sufficient money, and I've got the amount, so I can quickly check that there's enough there. So it takes a bit of effort, but it's a lot less effort than fixing the problem later.
Problems,
you know?
Yeah.
So very definitely, and the rogue debit order thing does happen. As much as we think it won't happen to you, it does happen. So do that, and also, you know, it's not only about the debit order increases. So many people will get bonuses in, let's say, December. Now, you're going to find these very clever financial planners will all be writing articles probably somewhere here around November and tell you what to do with your Christmas bonus.
Yes, how best to spend it.
How best to use it. So you're going to hear things like do a top-up to your retirement annuity, put some money in a tax-free savings account, and maybe put some money in your bond. So that is all good and well, but if you're just surviving for the previous 11 months, you actually need that bonus to survive for the next 12 months or to fix up the past 11 months. So that's why I like to do the budget for the year, is because you can actually see where you are every single month. And as you know, Valentine's Day is in
February.
February. Yeah. So I'm sure you're going to be spending a bit more money in February.
And then it's Easter in March, and then it's holidays in April, and then it's...
So you've hit the nail on it. And maybe you're even one of those people that pay the TV licenses.
That's the right thing to do, so they say.
So, and then your car license. So you'll find every single month is a different month. So to the person that asked that question, get yourself a gold star and do your budget sort of 12 months at a time.
Yeah.
And as the 1 month drops off, you add on the next month. So it's like a rolling budget, as you have heard people say. So very definitely good idea to do a budget, good idea to do it for 12 months in advance. A lot of hassle maybe, but I promise you it will be worth it.
It keeps you in touch with your money and your financial position.
Yeah, maybe that financial caning at the end of the year won't be so severe because your money's misbehaved.
Bend for six.
Yeah, bend for six. You can remember that. I can remember that. I don't know if the latest generation can remember
that. They go to detention.
Yes. I will not moan in class.
Yeah.
1,000 times on the blackboard. Okay. Sorry. Let's get back to finance, Wayne. So, let's say you've done this budget now and, there's a problem. You're either breaking even or you're not breaking even and you're actually spending more than what you're bringing in. So that's a massive problem, and that kind of behavior can lead to serious credit issues. So the day you want to buy a car or a house,
you're
behind. You know? And there's a thing called a credit bureau, and the credit bureau tracks all your payments on contractual expenses. So don't think no one will know. There's somebody there that knows.
It's all recorded in that little black book.
Correct. So what can we do now? Thane, what can I do? Well, there's really only two things you can do. You can either increase your income or you can reduce your expenses. So maybe for the next few minutes, let's talk about reducing your expenses. So I know it's tough and there's going to be pain, but discipline is always painful because no pain, no gain. So, and the most inflationary sort of impact that we've experienced has been groceries. You know, if you talk to any household, you'll note that the grocery costs have just increased dramatically over the past few months. They say it's gone down. But I don't know if they're buying at the same shop that I'm buying
Everything seems to be climbing.
Correct.
Along with the price of fuel and
everything else. Yeah. So again, it's only up to you. You know, you can sit and moan, or you can do something about it. And as you and I have often chatted off air, you know, there are things you can do something about, and there's things you can do nothing about. So focus on the things you can do something about. And one of those is your grocery bill. So what about, as an idea, make a meal plan for the week? So set out what you're going to eat each and every single day, and you'll find that by maybe cooking more than for one meal, you'll save maybe a bit on electricity, which is also an horrendous issue. And then when you plan your meals, look at your cupboard and use up what's in your cupboard.
Maybe something that's busy expiring, you know, before it actually gets to that point, use it.
Exactly. You know, and you'll find if you do some shopping around online, or I always look for that big red sign that says special. Have a look at the special, but obviously think why it's on special. So have a look at that expiry date. You don't want to go buy six bowls of yogurt and it all expires on the same day tomorrow.
Or they are using some kind of special to entice you to buy two instead of one.
Correct, yes.
You know, so you're actually ending up spending more money than you were planning on spending to save that amount.
So while we're talking about that, one of the things that I tend to do, and I apologize up front for everyone that's caught behind me in the queue, is work out the unit price of a large bottle of dishwashing liquid or cooking oil and a smaller bottle of cooking oil.
Yeah.
Because you'll find that even though the unit price will change, in other words, it might be 10 rand a liter versus 15 rand a liter. So be careful of that, because sometimes the smaller bottles are actually cheaper than the bigger bottles.
Yes. And per liter or per unit.
So I can clearly remember going into a little town called Stadtheim. Mm-hmm. And it was winter, and it was ice cold. So you know what happens when it's winter and it's ice cold and you're in Stadtheim? You buy Old Brown Sherry. And I was going to buy a big bottle of Old Brown Sherry. But then I worked out by looking at the unit price, two smaller bottles of Old Brown Sherry with more volume is actually cheaper than the big one.
Wow.
So don't forget to check the unit
because
price.
Because it's always thought that, well, I'm buying in bulk, so it should be cheaper. But it isn't always. You hear this coming up time and time again.
Correct. So just be careful of that. When you check the shelves, I have to whip out my glasses and look at the unit price because it's quite small printed on the labels.
You know? Because I don't really want you to see that.
And then if you're going shopping, go shopping alone, you know, because you just get in and you get out and you buy what you – there's very few distractions. And we all know about the Isle of Temptation.
Oh, yes. You know, Temptation Alley.
Temptation Alley, yeah. So if you're taking your grandchild or your child with you, the chances are good you're going to buy something in Temptation Alley, you know. So I like to get in, get out, you know, otherwise you wander around and find all the nice stuff. I read an interesting one as well. It's when you go shopping for groceries, make sure you are not hungry.
Yeah, because then you just pick up that snack on the way, which is probably in Temptation Alley.
Exactly. And also you tend to buy more when you're hungry. So that is sort of like, hey, I've actually worked that out. It actually does work. And then, very many people are brand conscious and they will only buy that specific brand no matter what. But do yourself a favor. Try another brand that may be cheaper and see if it's really that, the taste is really that different, you know.
Because, you know, just an example there, chatting to somebody at one of the local supermarkets, there's a house brand coffee and another particular brand that's got a crown. And the guy that I was chatting to said that we should actually try the house brand, which was cheaper. And the flavor was actually apparently not too bad. And, you know, you think, well, the house brands are cheap and nasty. But sometimes that could actually be very, very good quality.
Absolutely.
So sometimes maybe just taking that chance could pay off as well.
Yeah, I know I'm not always talking about sweets and cool drink and all those good things, but I went and bought a house brand. I love lemon creams. So if you're listening, lemon creams is the way to
bring lemon creams and
when you come have coffee at Wild Coast Radio. So I decided to try the house brand lemon creams, and when I opened it up, I was, these look a little bit pale. But the taste was absolutely fine. So I ended up buying the, so the next month I went and bought three of those packets, which is the same as one price as the famous lemon cream brand, you know. So don't be so stuck on brand. And quite honestly, if you're having a cash flow challenge,
then it might be the
way to go. You can't have champagne taste and beer money. Let's put it out there, excuse me. So, don't be fixated.
But also shop around. You might find a little home industry type sweet shop around the corner that's got these little biscuits that you've never heard of a brand, but yet they actually taste quite nice.
No, yeah, and also I like to support local, very much so. But when it comes to cash flow, I'm sorry to say this, and I might get into a lot of trouble with management.
Then price.
Yeah, because sometimes those prices are a little bit over the top, you know. And so, yeah, I do shop around, but I'm not being fixated on brands. You know what we forgot to do, Wayne?
Is a disclaimer.
Yes.
And that's we're disclaiming that any information we give here is purely informative.
Correct.
And you need to check with your own financial advisor, or in this case, the wife.
And it's not necessarily the opinions of management.
Right.
You see, you've heard it so many times, you can repeat it. So from now on, I think you've got to do the disclaimer.
I'll do the disclaimer.
Yeah, so, you know, again, and we mentioned this last week, eat at home. You know, again, this might not last forever. It's just to get that budget in sync, get over the bump. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of things you can do to reduce your expenses. And as you know, it's always good to have a SMART goal, something that's specific, something that's measurable, something that's attainable, something that's relevant, and something that's timed.
Mm.
So here's a goal for you. In the next 3 months, see if you can reduce your grocery expenses by 10%.
Okay.
And monitor that on a monthly basis. And I'm pretty sure by writing down some tips and hints that you've heard today, and even go onto Google, and the big word now is obviously artificial intelligence. And for the farmers that are listening, AI does not always mean artificial insemination.
Yes.
So go onto AI and see if there's something that you can find there that'll help you with your budget. So,
and it might just give you a template of some sort that you can just plug some numbers in and then chucks it out. But Google there would obviously be your friend as well, or your financial advisor.
Yeah. Well, your first prize is to speak to your own personal financial advisor. He should know your whole circumstance. He should know what kind of a person you are. That is something we also mentioned. Know what kind of person you are financially.
In terms of risk
and your whole brain profile. If you don't have a financial advisor, you're welcome to phone us and to chat to us with no obligation. And Wayne and I will give you the contact details after that. But I think the answer, Wayne, is you can't sit and wait for things to happen. You actually have to do this if you're having a financial situation where your money is misbehaving so badly that it's getting you into trouble.
It's misbehaving, and it's really breaking the law.
Correct.
But Thane, if somebody wants to get in touch, how do they go about it?
Oh, thank you, Wayne. So you're welcome to pop an email to us at info@verso.co.za, or give us a call, either myself or Jennifer, on 043-727-1340, and we'll be more than happy to help you. As I said before, absolutely no obligation. But yeah, have a chat with somebody that's in the financial
and you world. Might have your own personal financial advisor that you can phone and chat to, but
ask the questions. Sometimes they're hard, but you have to ask those questions.
As they say, have the conversation. Well, Thane, thank you very, very much. Another edition of Practical Finance. And we're keeping it practical, and we try and keep it fun as well. And this chat will be on our website, wildcoastradio.co.za, later on today as well. And Thane, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, everyone. Have a good Thursday.